Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen? If God be with you, who can be against you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in that world. Amen? God is with us. This morning, I wanted to speak about depression. And I got so depressed. And I thought, better not. But I want to take an aspect of depression. One of the greatest causes of depression is uncertainty. Every child is born into a world of uncertainty. Every day, we encounter uncertainty. Every breath you take, it's a breath of uncertainty. Life in itself hinges on uncertainty. Isn't that true? You may be a Christian. You may be a born-again Christian. May you have the love of God. You may have the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Yet, you live a life constantly in uncertainty. That's why we have backup plans. We do banking for our kids. We build for... Because we do all this, not because we don't have faith. Let me tell you, faith alone is good. But we build because we live in a world of uncertainty. Isn't that true? And I thought the great... As I was reading a book on it, it said, one of the greatest motivators or the one that moves people to depression is uncertainty. When you don't know, we seek answers, amen? We seek. If you don't, something is wrong with you. Daily, my Bible says, daily we seek the Lord. Why? Because in that Lord is the certainty of life. Amen? In God is my certainty. I live in a world surrounded by constant uncertainties, constantly. I have a brother who is a boxer. Pastor Kelvin met him, beautiful, strong, super fit. Had a massive heart attack a few days ago while on the road. He loves the Lord. He serves the Lord. He's given his life. We live in uncertain times. And the sad thing about it is not lack of faith that robs us from trusting God. It's the cause of uncertainty that robs our faith in God. We compromise our faith because we're uncertain. Anxiety, concern, fear. What about tomorrow? You know, I know some of us are going through it. I know my brother Raj, you're looking for a job. It's okay to feel uncertain. Can I hear an amen? It is okay because it tells us you're human, friend. Don't pretend or don't try to be. We feel uncertainty. The uncertainty is a good feeling because that's when we go to the Lord. Many of us came to know the Lord in a situation, not when you were riding high, you didn't care about the Lord. But when we hit the valley of uncertainty, of fear, of doubt, of concern, of cry, then when you were there, your heart searched for something. Your heart searched. And in that seeking and searching, you found Emmanuel. God is here. This morning, I want to just spend some time taking on this topic of uncertainty. Before we go to the next slide, I want to take a few characters from the Bible to authenticate that even men of God, servants of God, have uncertainty in life. Lest you think, I'm just telling you because I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor. No, I am in the same boat through the storm. The storm is rough. The winds are strong. The boat is rocking. The fear of capsizing is so real. But in that boat stands the certainty of my life, Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that true? The apostles face it. Think about Noah. God called him to build a boat. Can you imagine, Lord, build a boat for what? Do what? I'm not a fisherman. Noah was not a fisherman. The times are good. The days are good. Why? When is there a storm going to come? God is the Lord of the uncertainty. Amen? He's not only God of the certainty. He is the Lord of uncertainties. Every uncertainty is a certain plan of God. Amen? Can I hear that? Every uncertainty is God's plan for a certainty. Amen? And Noah built the boat. And he must have thought, Lord, are you okay? Why you ask me to build a boat on dry land? Where's the water? God knew uncertainty was coming. They didn't know. They didn't know. They lived in sin. They enjoyed. They partied. They did everything. Little did they know, a day of uncertainty was on the way. We all have a day of uncertainty, friend. If you are doing well today, thank God. If you're riding high, remember God is still in control. Because someday, your season change. We are into summer now. Just 2 days ago, we switched seasons. We change. You can't control the change. You can still think you're in spring. Go ahead. You can still think you're in winter. Wear your jumper, but it's summer. Isn't that true? You can't do anything. It changed. My season with Anne and my family changed in July. July the 2nd was our uncertainty hit us. It hit us so fast, so hard. And you just rock about and you just wonder why. Where did it come from? Where? How come I was not prepared for it? There's uncertainty, friend. Noah went through, I think of another good guy, Abraham. A beautiful family man with his wife. He had no kids. God told him, get up from your certainty. Start the journey of uncertainty for me. My life was intact. I had everything. Pack up. Go where? From to Ber. His life was shaken. God allowed him to walk the journey of uncertainty to fulfill the certain plan of God through his life. Because of his willingness to go through the uncertainty, he became the father of yours and me. So I dare come to this conclusion in my own understanding, God allows uncertainties. So when you go through an uncertain time, don't question God. Don't ask why. Why me? Then why not you? Why not you? Who are you? After all, if you read Matthew chapter 5, I think after the Beatitude, Jesus said it, the patriarchs and the prophets of old suffered. The Son of God will suffer and die. Who are you to be excused for many of this? Uncertainty is not a nice feeling. Think of Joseph, nice, handsome boy like me, growing up young and strong, great potentials. Suddenly, his whole life goes into a whirlpool. Why? I didn't do anything. He goes from one uncertainty to another, from one to another, until he goes to prison. How many of you are going to prison? Joseph, good life. God is the God of uncertainties. Because God has to use uncertainties to establish certainties in life. And who can he use better? You and I. Joseph, a young man. If you read his story, you would think, I would want to be like Joseph. His brothers despised him, but his father loved him. You know, kids today, sad stories, a lot of kids have parents who don't love them. No wonder the love of the father is so lacking that we have so many kids on the street. The love of the father is an important ingredient in family life. No father's love? Go to the street and look. Think of Naomi. One day, three people die, her two sons and a husband, and she goes through uncertainty. Will I find another husband? What will happen to my life? A widow. And those days, if you're a widow, you're cursed. Cursed. I don't know why they curse you, but they curse you. And so she went through. She also went through all the uncertainty. And yet God journeyed with her and led her to Ruth and everything. If you read the story of uncertainties, the ending is always certain. God never ends the story with uncertainty. He never dangles you out. He always makes sure you're on solid ground. Amen? You're on solid ground. Naomi went through, I think of my good friend David. I like David. I love David, you know? David, man who loved God, had Saul breathing down on his neck for no reason. He was anointed king, but Saul was not going to release until he haunted David. And David ran from place to place into caves, into everything. And he wondered, God, you anointed me king to be on the run. I'm the first running king. Not reigning, but running. I'm running. Running from here there into a cave. King of the caves. Why, Lord? Why this? But in that uncertainty of time, God established which God wants to do is your faith in Him, not in you. Not in you, your strength, or your circumstance. He established in David the faith that I'm your God. I'm Jehovah. I called you. I anointed you. I will ensure the throne is yours. Uncertainties is a very sad, it's a disease that the only cure is this, friend. The only cure for uncertainty is not more faith, not more love, not more fellowship. No. All that is good. The only answer, antidote is this word. Remember this word. Assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Assurance. In the journey of uncertainty, cry out for assurance from God. Just assurance. This is what I think of uncertainty. Thinking, wondering, worry. And I put wondering, why? Why? Why me? Why how? Every time, why? You know what? When we go through this, we are telling God, hey, God, listen, I'm your equal. How come you didn't tell me this before you did? That's what you... come on. Lord, I'm the heir to the throne. Don't know which heir, but I'm the heir to the throne. Why did you not consult with me before you let me go through this? You know who I am? I'm your son. And that's why this questioning is good. But when this questioning obsesses you, your trust is shifted now. Why, God? You just think, this is the meaning of uncertainty. Thinking, wondering, worrying, lose your hair. Why worry? Why be anxious? Look at the birds of the air. Why? But it's just human nature from the day of sin of Adam. It has been born within us to worry. Will I have a good life? Will I have my job back? I sat down with Anne. She doesn't know the sermon. And I just encouraged her. Whatever you are going through, it hurts me equally. But you know, I have a different perspective of life. And I shared with her last time. I said, God brought me 40 years. This year, in ministry. 40 years, and he has never failed. Do you think he'll fail next year? The psalmist says, from the day I've been young to the day I'm old, I have never seen the righteous of the Lord lack anything. That's my assurance. Hey, friend, I tell you, don't waste time playing with your phone if you don't read the Word of God. The Word of God is your assurance, amen? It is an assurance when you go through the storm. You cling on to that Word, Lord, help me. I believe with all my heart. I cling my life, my destiny, my hope. I believe in you. Hope. I like that word, hope, on Christmas. Christmas was the birth of hope. For hope came in the form of a baby. What are you worrying? Sometimes we want, we wait, we need. I need answers, Lord. I need. Tell me. What if God didn't tell you? I like Nick's testimony. What if God didn't tell you? Would you get angry with him? He's by not telling you or telling you, he's not interested. He's concerned. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you know who I am to you? I'm your God. Which God in outside of Christianity will do that, what God does for us? Which God? You tell me. So when you get through this, these emotions, you know, somebody said uncertainty is a very powerful emotion. It cripples people. It cripples you, then you can't move. You go through paralysis. Why? Why did I lose my mom? Why did I lose that? Why? What happened to my family? I've lost my life. Why? Resonates so deep. And it cripples you. You know, I've learned something in life. There are two kinds of people in the Christian faith. They're the ones who think a lot, but don't do anything. And then there's the type who do without thinking. So the ones who think too much and don't do, they have this disease. They call it analysis paralysis. Analyze, until didn't do. I've learned something. Think. But do what? Because James says, don't be a hearer. Do something. In your uncertainty, you got two choices. To do the assurance thing with God or to do doubt. I question, why me? You said you love me. You said if I became a Christian, my life will be good. You know, we bring out all the lies of the devil. The Bible never said any of you who became a Christian, your life will be smooth. Can you find that verse for me? I want to enshrine it in my home. He just promised you this, I'll be with you. I'm the Lord of the valley. I'm the Lord of the mountain. When you are distressed in that valley, I'm with you. When you delight on that mountain, I'm with you. Delight in the life of the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Delight in Him. And He will grant you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37 verse 4. Delight in Him. Enjoy. And I told Anne, I said, I feel. But you know, I enjoy you more than just going through this emotion of questioning. And our whole relationship goes down the drain. Because why? We are so many whys. God will take care. I don't know how. I'm not a magician like Joseph yesterday. I'm not. But you know one thing? I have a good assurance. My God never fails. My God never fails. He's proven it all through the creation story right down to what we are today. Don't let uncertainty anchor your life that you cannot move. I wish my life was changed. I wish my life was better than all of yours. I wish. But you know, don't have wishful wishing. Have faithful thinking of God. God is faithful. God is with you. God never left you. God won't leave you. God is always constant with you. Can I have a next slide? I thought of little things that is. The only certainty is that there is no certainty in life. No certainty, what? How do you know if your hair is going to fall? I wish mine grew back. Every day I look in the mirror, I think, at least I'm better than Anne now. When I look at the mirror, I can comb. I've got bragging rights. Hey, look at you, Bota, look at me. Do you know what kind of sickness is going to knock on your door? Do you know what tragedy may be coming your way? I don't know. But you know one thing I know. Tragedy may come, circumstance may come. Jesus is still with me. That's my blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory, divine. He's with me. I love that hymn. I listened to it last time about many times, just to bring that assurance. Jesus is mine. Listen, friend, He's mine. There's such an ownership. He is mine. I, me, and myself own Him. How good. Three of us. Thing is, the other thing is, look at it, not only risk is measurable uncertainty, but uncertainty is unmeasurable risk. You therefore take risk, friend. Hey, life is risky. To choose a wife also risky, or husband. Better put husband. Other people think, Pastor Winston, you're male chauvinist. Hey, whispers coming from the ground. But think of it. Even having kids, you know, today in Singapore, I'm going back there in a couple of days, the birth rate has dropped so drastically. And one of the main reasons people don't want kids is the risk of bringing up a kid that is sick, addictive, non-productive. So the risk has caused them not to have kids. And so sad. Let me tell you, living is a risky thing. Malcolm was with me driving. It was quite risky because Malcolm was sitting in front of me. I was telling him, I said, I'm glad Malcolm can't see all the driving I do. Maxine is at the back. But you know, walking the road is risky. Walking is risky, friend. If you don't get taken down, you fall into a hole. But life is a risk. But every risk, if you're a Christian, God is the Lord of the risk, friend. I take that risk. Next one. Life is uncertain. We all know that. That is certainty. The only certainty in life, you're going to die. When? I don't know. How? I don't know. Why? I know. Because we all have to die. Isn't that true? So I always, even for Anne, I said, whatever you go through, if God has to take you, you're going back home. I want to go home. Don't go before me. I'm older. I'm senior. Seniors get privileges. But you're going home. Home. I want to go home, friend. I have a long life. I want to go home to be with you. I want to, for once in my life, see with my own eye the glory of God. I want to hear with my own ear, well done, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Take your rest. Living is a very painful experience. Sufferings, struggles, sicknesses. He said, when you die, no tears, no more pain, no more heartaches, nothing. You sit in the presence of God and just sit there and sing hallelujah, Hosanna. Hosanna to God in the highest. That is certain, friend. If it is certain, then why go through the rigmarole of uncertainty? It will happen. Don't make it too soon, Lord. I always tell, and I ask God to make me go top one shot. Huh? I don't want to lay on the bed and then kicking here, kicking there. And then your children get fed up, they kick you also. Just one time, Lord, just hallelujah. As I say hallelujah, amen up there. Hear hallelujah, there, amen. That is certain. You know, the sad thing about us, we know all this, yet when uncertainty comes in, we forget. We forget. God is a good God, friend. Listen to this statement. You and I don't run. We think we run our life. We don't run our life. We don't control. God is still in control. I remember this five-finger assurance David Wilkerson used to give to all teen challenge directors. He said, when you hit pit, the bottom, carry up your hand and say, God is still in control. God is still in control, friend. Uncertainty is a reality. Next one. Uncertainty is an uncomfortable position, eh? But certainty is an absurd one. It's quite absurd to say my life is certain. No, there's no certainty. There's no certainty. I never believe, honestly, that my hair would drop from my head. I'm looking for a photograph to show my good friend, Pastor Kelvin Sim. Because I saw his photo, he got nice wavy hair. Wow, he keep that photo and he put here, put there. I want to find, I had hair past my shoulder. Serious. Now it passed my shoulder and didn't come back. It took a bus ride. Because my family, no, because my father, till he died, his hair was solid, white, like KFC. Us and KFC, exactly, all white. I've got a bit of the white, but on top is white and clear. I could never. Then when it happened, and I told my dad, because my father used to drum this into us. He said, "You, that's a German concept of life, a perspective. You make your life. You are a self-made man. You make what you." Every day he tells you that. So when my hair dry, I said, "Now how? What am I going to do?" He said, "I told you to take care." I took care. There's no certainty, friend. Lastly, listen to this statement. I like that. The impulse produced by the certainty of death and the uncertainty of life becomes fuel and zeal for Jesus Christ. That makes you now desperate for what? The answer. And who is the answer? Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the answer. If you had certainty, none of us, I tell you, none of us would want Jesus. It's because this uncertainty produces something that becomes flammable. And when the Holy Ghost hits, it burns. You become that person and you look for Christ. Christ is our only certainty. Christmas Day was when, somebody said, Christmas Day was when certainty became reality. It became real. Because many years it prophesied of the coming of Jesus. And everybody said, when, why, how, when. And on that morning he came, it brought a shutdown to all uncertainty. Reality came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ, the little baby. Whatever uncertainty you go through, God has some reality coming through it, friend. God will take control. You will not just be left there. Next slide. As I said, uncertainty. Assurance is what sustains us through the uncertainties, through the anxieties, and to continue on the journey. All I want is not to opt out the journey. All I want is to complete my journey. Amen? Don't opt out your journey. You came to know the Lord. Don't opt out. Don't backslide. Never think. I always get offended when people say, Pastor Christa, what if I backslide? I said, what you thinketh, you will be. Don't think about it. Why think about that? What if we always like to think of the negative? Why? Why put your mind, your heart, your whole energy in something negative? Don't backslide. The Bible says, what a man thinketh, so shall he be. If you think backslide, you will one day. If you put your mind on corrupt things, you're already corrupted. But why not think of this? God, you are with me. Nothing can come against me. I'm more than a conqueror. We are overcomers. Take all the positive words from the Bible and speak to yourself. Amen? The thing is, we are lazy to go through the Bible. We want to hear what the pastor say. And then, pastor, don't listen to me. Read the Bible, please. Pick up for yourself. Pick up for yourself. I hope your Bible is same like mine. Huh? I'm a King James guy. But I've got all the versions at home. But the Word of God is your assurance, friend. People can pray for you and go. They're not your assurance. They're there and they move. The assurance is moved. But the constant assurance is the very presence of Emmanuel. God is with me. When all have gone, when the curtains come down, when the lights are off and the room is all quiet and every soul has left my life, I sit in the solitaire of that day knowing this assurance, God is with me. Amen? But friend, I want to challenge you to read the Word. I love people who really spend time and read the Word of God. God speaks through His Word, you know, not only through the sermons, but why not spend solitude moments with Him? I know it's good. Come to church. Learn a lot. Pick up. Go to your life group, SG. But don't use all this as substitute to your quiet time with God. God is my... When I'm in the hospital with Anne, while she's going through, if I'm not walking around and disturbing people, I sit in the corner. And honestly, last week we had two, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, two hospitals. Huh? One is 2 hours plus. The other one is 2 hours plus. And so I go and talking to an old guy. I never realized, we sat together, I'm talking to him, he asked me, what's your number? And I look at him, I thought, is this guy asking my telephone number? Why he wants my telephone number? And then I said, no, I don't have. He said, oh, then you sit here. So I sat there. Next thing I heard the nurse come out and said, Peter. So I woke up, and this man also Peter. He said, I've been here before you, and I'm older, you sit down. I said, okay, thanks. And I shared with him, just talking to people. You know, and you know, all of them are there uncertain. He asked me, what cancer do you have? I said, no, I'm not a cancer patient, but my wife is. And you see on their face, fear. Every visit in is a fearful moment. Every visit sitting outside is additional fear before he goes in. Uncertainty. And you sit there and you begin to, it dawns on you, you begin to reflect on life. What is life? And I wrote a little article, Touching Lives with Jesus Wherever I Am. Just to talk to someone. Because you open up something called an assuring channel that somebody cares. You know, the worst thing for death before someone dies is loneliness. When your family is not there and you're all alone. Loneliness is the most frightening moment of life. And so uncertainty becomes that. I'm all alone. Who would care for me? Who would bury me? Who would do? Who? When I first came to Australia in 98, I worked for a church called, a Lighthouse Church, sorry. Suddenly I had a memory. Too cold, I think. But, and my first assignment was the senior pastor asked me, Pastor Michel, are you free on Saturday? I said, every day I'm free. He said, can you take these 5 beautiful senior citizens out in a van? I thought, okay, I'm young. That time I was 50 or something. No, still young. I said, come, I'll take them out. You know where they wanted to go? Le Pen. So I didn't know what is Le Pain. So I'm thinking, French restaurant. I'm going to a French restaurant. Yeah, then I drive in. I said, where's the restaurant? They said, no, Pastor Minister, this is a funeral director. I said, why are we doing here? Oh, we got to test our coffins. And I'm thinking, don't joke. Seriously, they went in, they have booked their, because I've still got, my name is still with Le Pines. These people have nominated me to be the pastor to do the funeral. The two still around, three has gone. And they went in and tested the coffin, and the ladies tell me, Pastor, how do you think I fit inside? And then the other lady said, oh, Pastor, I don't like, I feel claustrophobic. And I'm thinking, you're dead. And the other one is telling me, Pastor, yeah, Pastor, please, can you make sure that they put pink cloth? But you did. If they put black also, you don't know. You know why? Even at that point, they want to be certain. They don't realize. And I tell you, it was a, I said, I told Richard, I said, Richard, please don't send me on assignments like this. I said, I thought I'm going to a French restaurant. I end up in a French parlor, what? Funeral parlor. Pastor, can you do this? Make sure you sing this. So I said, I don't sing. If I sing, you'll wake up from the dead. Please not. I won't sing. Because they plan, see, literally plan everything for their life. It was a rude awakening and a shock. I've never done this. Huh? Can you help me into the coffin? I said, man, I don't do this at work. Huh? I like a cushion. You did. How would you know if they put a cushion? You did. I could never. I came back and I told me. I said, it's like, what? Are there people, real people out there? The best part. Make sure they comb my hair. Hello, you're dead, man. Make sure I want it. They put even the lipstick. Hey, man, this is big business. So I jokingly asked the lady, I said, what if they don't do? I'll hold you responsible. You are pastor, you must make sure. I said, now I become responsible for you. Now I'm living here, you are living in Springville. When the funeral comes, they just call me, the parlor will call me, Reverend, this has happened, come and do. Because they got all, they paid everything up, everything is in order. Life is not this way, friend. Life is not this way. I said, I couldn't understand life in that sense. But you know, friend, every uncertainty your friend is going through, thank God, because you have an opportunity to lead him to certainty. Lead him. Every valley has a way out to the top. Every lake and everything has an outlet for water. Because there must be. God allows uncertainty in this world because he can become the only certainty. The sad thing about us, you and I are not capturing this, but we also get swallowed. We willow with them. Look at it. You know, yesterday Anne was saying, she said, even though in her time, people send her messages like so condescending. Anne, have faith in God. It's condescending words that I said, using biblical words to condescend on somebody's circumstance in life. And I told somebody, listen, you listen and you listen good and loud, I said. You listen as loud as the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Don't ever condescend on our lives. We may be going through a struggle. What we need is somebody to come along and assure, not to question or to put doubt into her mind, probably you're not faithful to God. Probably if you were faithful, God wouldn't have given you breast cancer. You ask her, I'm not here to... Messages come, it really hurt my God. I'm the pastor, man. Because you don't understand. You are up on the top and you're looking down, you're talking with a different perspective. Try to talk in the perspective of somebody in there. And I said, why don't you use words at this end? Thank God for your faith. Believe with all your faith, God is going to see you through all this. I teach you how to speak, I said. Don't do this because it's very hurting for somebody who's looking for answers. Somebody's just in a situation crying out to God. We don't need any more people throwing stones on you. Because God allows, we all have an uncertainty in life, friend. But be assured, God has not left you. I like that song, Emmanuel. If I was born again and had a right to name my name, I name myself Emmanuel. But my father chose Peter. Amen. All right. I want to take a lesson before I wrap up this message. I want to take a lesson of Abraham's life from Hebrews, and just see how you cope with uncertainty. How to accept God's call without knowing where. You know, the fact that you receive God in your life, the only assurance you have is this: if God is with me, heaven is my home. Amen? But how the leading goes, you know the destiny. But the journey, He never told you. If God told us the journey about cancer, maybe I would have negotiated with God. I would have signed a contract with Him. Please don't do this. Listen, God never gives you the details of the journey. He tells you the destiny. So when you receive it, remember, receive it with this, that even though there's uncertainty, the unknown, one thing I know, God is with me. God is the constant presence in a world that is changing so fast. The world is changing. This world is changing. The Christian church, I feel so fearful in my heart for the Christian churches and pastors who don't stand for Jesus, who are willing to sell off the church, sell off their destiny, sell off their faith just for the pleasures of this world. There's a day coming when the word remnants will become the language of the day. Those that are left who will stand for Jesus. The remnants will come. That will be the day. But how do we know? By faith, it says by faith, Abraham, when called to go to Abraham, later received. See, he was called to go, but later he was going to receive the inheritance. Right? Obeyed and went, even though he did not know, he was uncertain. You know, when God called you to ministry, and let me tell you, all of us, I believe it, Pastor Calvin, pastors, we went in, we never knew the journey. We knew the call. We knew the God. From the call to that God, there was a journey called a life of faith. A life of faith. Testing, trying, heartaches. Sometimes you want to give up. Sometimes you question God. But you know, assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He gave me an assurance called the Holy Spirit. He put into me. He said, when I go, I won't leave you an orphan. I like what you said. We are nobody has an orphan. If you're a Christian, you're no longer an orphan. The Father lavishes His love to you. The Father has put the Holy Spirit in you. That I have this assurance wherever I make a decision, I go, God goes with me. If I hit the hole, God is in the hole with me. If I hit the rocky waves, God is in there for me. If I face the enemy, God goes before me. I'm never alone. When I'm afraid, He makes me strong. When I'm weak, He makes me strong. When I'm lost, He's my eye. Because why? He's with me. Uncertainty robs you of all this. It questions you. Are you sure God is with you? You sure God called you? You sure God loves you? That's the constant cry of the enemy. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? You know why we use the word, are you sure? There's a legal term to it. The word sure is a surety. It's a sign sealing. The surety. This is God. God is my surety. That's why the devil asks you, are you sure? Did you sign that document? What did he tell Eve? Are you sure? God bluff you. You don't listen to him. He tested the friend. Let me tell you, if your assurance is not strong in God, the first uncertainty, you will cripple. You fall. Are you with God? God is my surety. Hebrews, he said, God will call. Will you go? If God called you, when God calls, there's no guarantee about tomorrow. How many of you know that? There's no guarantee. I wish I wake up tomorrow, but no guarantee, If I wake up, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not lucky, but praise the Lord. If I didn't wake up, not unlucky, praise the Lord. Gone home. So both ways, praise the Lord. Then why you worry? Why? Why you worry? Worry is a very, very, very frightening thing, Honestly. How many of you ever never worried in life? I worry for you now. We all worry, especially like young parents, you got kids, you worry about the kids' well-being. You got parents who are old, you worry about their health. You got a mortgage to pay. You're worried about your income, your job. Because constantly we worry. There'll never come a day in your life when you will never worry. That's the only time when you cross over. As long as you hear, I worry what's going to eat afterwards lunch. Eh? I ask, and what lunch? Before we started the service, I asked for lunch. Second thing of assurance is this, friend. Remember, God keeps His promises. Wow. You know, I read this book and it says, God keeps His promises in spite of us being unfaithful. Let me give you one good promise he's given. You can break it. He says, I love you with what? An everlasting love. He didn't say, I love you when you love me. He didn't say, I love you if you do this for me. He didn't say, I love you because you're not. No, he said, I, Yahweh, love you with an everlasting love. He said, even though you are unfaithful, I'll always be faithful to you. What powerful words of assurance. I'm with you. You'll never walk alone. I will be with you right to the end of time. I'm with you. You could never tell your wife that, though in the marriage vows we can say, till death do us part. But God says, I will be with you. Here, there. You know, they said in this world of uncertainty, everything is temporal. In the world of certainty, all permanency. Permanent. So which world do you want? I want the world of permanency. I know I'll get back my hair. I know I got a picture. I'll bring it up and say, I want this hairstyle. That's a permanent. Church, God is your assurance. If you don't build it, as you go on, the church is going to face a lot more problems. Christians are going to face a lot more. You're going to face it. You can't run. You can't hide. The only thing you can do is compromise or give up. God promises. He said, by faith, He made His home in the promised land. Look at it. God promised Him the promised land, but He lived in the wilderness land. God, you said promised land, but I stay in the desert. This is not promised land. But I promise you. The journey was through the wilderness, friend. Land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, and as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him, to the same promise. You promised me a house if I stay in a tent. Wow. The promises of God are true. He promised him promises, but He did not promise him the journey. The only promise of the journey is I'll go with you. Or I've gone before you. Normally God goes before you. Lastly, never take your eyes off. You know, I like this. It says, keep your eyes upon Jesus, the author and what? The perfecter. Listen, not only is the author, author starts, but He brings perfection. Perfection is conclusive in perfected. There's nothing more than perfection. The opposite is imperfection. When you read perfection means you reach the end. Perfect. He's the author. God is going to perfect our lives. Whatever cancer, sickness, whatever, God will bring perfection at the end of the day. And I'm so glad that I can see that there's a hope there. You know, this word needs to be resonated in our hope. We live in hope. We don't live in despair. We live in hope. Neither do we die in despair. We die in hope. The blessed hope of Jesus Christ. He said to Abraham, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Amen. Do you know your life has been drawn by an architect? God drew out the plan of your life. Amen. Top architect. He can make, can you see, 6 billion people living today, how many billion passed away? Not one has the same fingerprint. In my line of police work, in all that, only once they discovered, worldwide, the French police discovered a person that almost 99% identical to another person. Still 99, not 100. Can you imagine, on this little thumb, listen, 6 billion different plans can come out. You tell me you believe in Big Bang Theory, you'll get a bang on your head. It has to be fearfully, wonderfully made by God. Look at your thumb. Maybe mine is bigger than yours. But 6 billion thumbs. And some are to come, babies. And you'll never get the same. Keep your eyes on God. Nothing built by man lasts forever. Abraham was looking for a city built and designed by a God. Your life is built by God. There is no perfect life. There is no complete life for you. Life is in His hand. I have a plan. God plans for you. Every day He unveils one part of the plan. Every day He turns one page of your life. This is it. Every day. You and me don't know how many pages our life book has. Maybe I got 100, you got 99. But we know. Somebody knows the end of the book. God gave you a book, you write your life inside. Write it well. Write the good things of your life and let God realize that, friend, you live with this certainty. God is with me. Amen? As you close the year, reflect on this. Had it not been God with me, where would I be? If not for God, where would I be? Do you know, sometimes we don't know. God had stopped something drastic in our life before it happened. Someday when you look back in time, you say, thank you, Lord. But now you don't know. Now you may never know. He stopped many things He prevented, but there are things He wants you to go through. So what I'm going through with my wife is, I dare say with all my heart, is God ordained. Not accident. Not punishment. I dare say because I know we have kept our hearts good before the Lord. We have served to the, not, I'm not the, but we have served to the best of that call. Walk worthy of your calling. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, walk worthy, and I believe we have put worthiness in that call. But whatever we go through is a part of that call and the journey. So if ever you think that I've gone wrong, please, I want to change your thought that each one of us will go through different trials. Count it all joy, my brother and my sister, when you go through trials, tribulations, and testing. Because God never tempts anybody. Just count it a joy. Enjoy. But be certain of your life in God. I like Pastor Calvin said before the communion, this is the only chance we have to have that assurance. I'm safe. My sins have been forgiven. I have the blood of Jesus. I have the power of the Holy Ghost within me. I am a new creation because Jesus came. That's the only revelation of assurance in your life. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I have the greatest assurance in my life. Whenever we were in church, when my kids were young, we sing the song, Jesus loves me, yes, I know, for the Bible tells my kids, especially Shannon, Daddy, Daddy, your name is in the Bible. And I said, oh, hallelujah. We are part of that name, huh? Jesus loves you. Jesus said, whatever you struggle, whatever you go through, uncertainty, God has an answer. Every uncertainty, I believe, is the strengthening of two things, your faith and your belief in God. It's easy to believe. The easiest thing to do is to believe in God. Belief don't cost you anything. Even the devils believe in Jesus Christ. The devil also believe. Belief doesn't cost you. When you say, I have faith, faith requires an act. That's where the cost comes in. I pray God will strengthen your faith through this Christmas time, through the end of the year. Thank God. Thank God. Every day you wake up, just say, Lord, this is all I do every day. Say, God, thank you for a new day, Lord. Thank you for a brand new day, Lord. I may not have words more to say, but my heart says, thank you, Lord. And Lord, I believe, this is my belief every day I tell Ed, that today will be better than yesterday. I never wish for a day worse than yesterday, but the day will be better. Even though we are going through a struggle, but the day is better. Because you know why? We have the assurance God is with us. Amen. Let's pray, church. Hallelujah.